Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, welcome to The Guinea Pig. I'm Dr. Mariam Zamani, an oculoplastic surgeon and an aesthetic doctor.
And I'm Fiona Golfer, a writer and journalist. I'm no stranger to a cosmetic procedure, and I'm willing to try pretty much anything.
Which is why I'm here, to make sure Fiona and anyone else that's out there considering a treatment to help make a better informed decision safely and to try and collect as much information as they can.
Every fortnight, this podcast comes to you from Mariam's clinic in Chelsea. If you're looking for an honest, no-holds-barred approach to invasive and non-invasive cosmetic surgery,
then the Guinea Pig is here to help you. Hi, everybody. We're back at the clinic, and I'm super excited to be talking about hair.
Yes. Hi, everyone. This week, we're talking all things hair, but not just with anybody. This week, we've got Nicola Clark, who is one of my really, I can say this with my hand on my heart, favorite people in the world. And Nicola is the chief colorist. Tell me, you've probably got a very fancy title at John Frieda.
I don't know what my title is.
Darling.
Creative director?
Yeah. Yeah, at John Frieda.
We
bonded at the backwash. And I've known of Nicola for many years before we actually became friends, because Nicola was the kind of star colourist at John Frieda. There'll be a million people with long knives out after I've said that. But she didn't do my hair because she was too busy doing Kate Moss and Gwyneth Paltrow and Madonna and Kate Blanchett and just about every Kate you can imagine. And my first memory of you being a mensch, which is Yiddish for a really decent person, was that I remember wanting a manicure one day in the salon and no one was available. And you were like, I'll do your fucking manicure. and she just came over like the grandest colorist in the whole world and was just sat down and did my nails. And I just thought, I love this woman. And I would rather have a Nicola than any psychiatrist in the world or therapist, because I think that for me anyway, my relationship with you lot at John Frieda and my history with you lot, I've had some of the most kind of, I mean, I resigned from Vogue after 26 years and I was standing next to Nicola. Nicola was standing next to me actually when I got the email kind of accepting my resignation, I sobbed into your ample bosom.
That was
I?
A heavy week, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, and so it's a very, it's such a trust, love, important relationship. And so anyway, I'm so thrilled that you're on the Guinea Pig.
Oh, thank you.
Because we've got a million questions. I know Mariam has, so you
well,
go
you've
first,
got, you've,
Mariam.
We're like salt and pepper. I mean, like, is that the right word? Salt and pepper?
Yeah, you
are. I'm a brunette and, you know, Fee's a blonde, so.
Yeah, sweet.
Exactly. You're always in varying shades of blonde. Yeah. And I'm actually going blonde. My husband the other day turned to me and he said, are you going to go back to your natural hair color?
I married a brunette, not a blonde.
Yeah, exactly. But after the summer, and you know, I have some grays now that I need to cover. It's a big process going to the hairdresser. And had I known when I was 16 that I would need to actually have gray hairs that I would dye, I don't think I would have done a highlight my entire life until I started going gray. Because now I have to go so often and I spend like 3 hours there. I take my computer, I take my phone. I'm basically like working, calling, doing stuff. It's like an office. Yeah.
Imagine we did all that for so many years without computers and phones.
I know.
Well, we read magazines
that's why print is dead.
Yeah, I know, because that's where I used to go and read like Hello and Vogue and, you know, all my little, you know,
catch
fun
up.
Little, yes, exactly.
Nick, how long have you been doing hair color?
I started hairdressing when I was 13, when I was at school. I had a little Friday and Saturday job. And then I left school. I was the youngest in my year, so I'm a summer baby. So I was 15 still when I left school, where everyone used to leave school after their exams and not go to university. So yeah, I was 15 when I started at the Barclay Hotel. Wow.
Did you at the Barclay? Yeah. And you were an assistant, were you like sweeping the floor?
Sweeping the floor, and we used to have all these really grand ladies that used to sit and eat their lunch on their laps, and I'd sweep past them and they'd be like, "Stop sweeping, I'm eating my lunch." And I was,
and don't I want hairs like, in my avocado.
I thought it was the weirdest thing that people... Yeah, there wasn't avocado back then. I was so weird that people were having lunch while they were having their hair done.
I remember that because I'm an oldie. I remember lunch being a part of it.
And they used to sit in this bay,
I still have food while I'm having my hair done.
Yeah, no, but this is it. It was so novel to me. From Essex.
Ladies did that from Essex. Yeah. So straight into Belgravia ladies.
Big time.
A shock. Not a complaint to be heard.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. The stories you could tell.
And how did you choose colour over cut, or did you learn everything at once?
Well, I think I learned everything, and I kind of learned everything really old fashioned because I was at the Barclay Hotel, so everyone had shampoos and sets, and it was really old fashioned. So I learned everything and really, really loved styling. And then just through reading Vogue and looking at the magazines, really picked up on what Sam was doing.
Sam McKnight.
And loved Sam's work. So
and was this at the moment where Sam was responsible for doing Princess Diana? And it was that epoch, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was
Sam
doing...
Sam and Mary Greenwell were hair and makeup to everybody.
They were the big boys.
Very well.
And Sam was doing Vivienne Westwood. I think that's what really sort of drew me to Sam was all the Vivienne Westwood
years. The fun of it.
Yeah, exactly. So once I qualified at the Barclay, I left and I was like, I've done She, Uptown. I need to get a bit grungier now.
Are we in the 90s?
Yeah, I left in 91.
Yeah.
And so I did actually go to a really famous salon, but it ended up being only for a day for a trial. And it ended up being just as She as the Barclay, but not in Knightsbridge. So I went to, ended up in Hyper in Kensington Market.
Did you?
Yeah, in Kensington High Street.
I got my first piercing.
Yeah, well, exactly. And it was wild and crazy and fun. And that's actually where I decided that I didn't want to cut hair. I wanted to colour hair. And I was so obsessed with styling. So I used to do all the like blow dries and the sets for the guys. Because most of the people that I worked with were from Sassoons. And they couldn't style like
no,
they couldn't
Sassoons was all about cut and not about
I did all the blow drying and the styling for them, finished everything off, and that's when I decided that I wanted to carry on and learn colour. And also as well at the time,
what, who were you looking at colour wise what was making you think
well colour? You know what it was, the thing I think more one of the things was the sort of radical change that was what interested me. Like I could literally, you could come in and say I want to go bleach blonde, and then we would do it. You might possibly have had a meltdown about it, and I could make you back to the same as what you were before. Whereas at the time in the early 90s, the only hair extensions you could get were like dome monofiber. Mm. So they were like these quite unsophisticated,
and there were lots of panels of hair, because I remember in the early 90s I was Bowie, so I had a kind of full lock, white and dark at the back, so there was a lot of that kind of
completely two-tone. It's funny, I've just done something like that on a hair show, the Bowie kind of look, but that was, I think it was I might be wrong, but it might have been Emma Balfour, and that flash of white hair at the front, that was all kind of going on at the time, and that sort of really excited me. And the styling, maybe the cutting just didn't really interest me as much. I kind of thought I knew the basics and I just wanted to get into learn more. I wanted to learn more. And you kind of only really learn small bits of colour when you're training. So I just kind of delved in, really.
And kind of taught yourself a lot of new... Yeah.
Yeah.
Because your style is... very much your style.
Yeah.
You've got your girls and they're very identifiable. And now I would say they're more classic looking, those girls. But so when did you get to John Frieda?
So I've been at John Frieda for 17 years now. So I left the Andrew Joe's, I think I stayed there for about 8 years. And then I went to Umberto Giannini in Knightsbridge again, went back to Knightsbridge. And then John actually... John's PA called me and asked to meet me. So that was, and it happened right at the right time. It was, I was ready to leave Knightsbridge again. And John's driver came and picked me
John's
up.
John's driver.
Tanzu, come and picked me up, whisked me off to Claridge's. And I just sat, and we actually didn't really talk about the job. We just talked about hair. John told me what he's about his career. I told him about mine, and we just chatted for ages. And then I think we did that at like three meetings, and then finally he got one of the guys to come and talk to me about, you know, what I would be doing and stuff. And yeah, and we've been friends ever since, really.
John did my hair when I was like 14 or 15. I was at school and I got scouted by the Vogue beauty editor at the time saw me. And I did this Vogue shoot and it led to doing a campaign. And John was the hairdresser on the campaign. It was so long ago. It was with Lord Snowden, if you don't mind. And he crimped my hair and I had waist length long hair.
Wow.
And I had the crush of all crushes. Yeah. On, I mean, he was so handsome.
Yeah.
Is, actually.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
It, if you're listening, John. So handsome and so charming.
So
and
charming.
Actually, what I loved about that salon, which I've gone to for about as long as you've been,
yeah,
as long as I was at Vogue, it was yeah, like a second home, is that they had a very kind of, they thought quite editorially.
Yeah.
So you could go in there and you could say, I want my hair to look like
yeah,
this, and someone actually knew how to do it.
Well, that was John's background, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, because he was editorial, yeah, and that was the difference between the sort of shampoo and set where my mum took me
yeah,
when I was little.
Where I trained, probably.
Where you trained, probably, not far off.
Yeah.
And I always loved going in with my mum, actually, because I loved the world of the hairdressing salon.
Yeah.
I think it's a really, you know, my editor at Vogue always used to say, if she's not in the office, see if she's at the hairdresser.
Yeah.
Which I probably was.
Because you get involved in everybody, that's why. And it's such a little community.
Yes, it's a community. And it's a trust thing as
yeah,
well. Because the chances are you're going to come out looking better than when you went in.
And
which
also,
is nice.
We have so much, we love going to work.
Yeah.
So I think it's quite an up.
Yeah,
environment
yes,
to be in.
Of course.
It feels
everybody's
collaborative.
Happy, yeah, yes,
it does feel collaborative.
Yeah. I mean, if
and you make people look better,
yeah,
so
and
they
if
feel
you're
better
a drama,
about themselves.
You know, like there's always someone to kind of guide you through it, really.
So when you started with the, because you are kind of famous for doing very famous people's hair,
mm-hmm,
and how did that start? Was it the Moss? Was it the Blanchett? Or was
so,
it the Madonna?
Well, I'd been doing a couple of people like Jennifer Saunders and people like that, and I was just lucky enough to get recommended. And I think being a colourist, the stylist that I worked with, there was no competition, and you know they weren't worried about me stealing people away mm, from them. So
because they'd have your legs cut off, if
yeah,
they could,
yeah, yeah,
because that's what it's like
completely
on the editorial
so,
side.
Yeah, so I was lucky, and I worked with Sam, and I worked really hard, and he really trusted me. And I think the first, I'd done a Matthew Williams show with Sam, and it was a really, I think it was his first show, and Kate.
Was that the one with Kate
and
Jay Jagger? I was
and
at
Helena,
that show. Oh, God.
And they were all there. I think even
yeah,
Naomi might have been
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they were all.
And Kate had turned up. I mean, they were all fantastic. All the girls were amazing. And Sam was like, like Kate had this big blonde stripe through the front of her hair that someone had done some, I don't know where they'd done it, and he was like, you look like Jerry Spice, that needs to go. And she was like, I know, it's hideous. So he literally put us in a taxi after the show, and I went back to her house and got rid of it, and I've been doing hair ever since.
I'm curious about, you know, about colouring in terms of, as a brunette, I hate the colour orange in my hair.
All brunettes do.
And, or red. Actually, some people like that colour. It doesn't suit me. I don't
yeah,
like it. And when I see it, it makes me, it's like blondes going
I
green,
like
you know,
it.
Like
that,
it's
that
not.
Dark-haired women where it goes kind of rusty
yeah,
colour.
I don't
yeah,
really like that. So all these dyes that are out there,
mm-hmm,
bleaches, you know, which ones are the ones that are good for you? Like, which ones should you avoid? You know, what's the reason people turn orange, and how can you adjust that at home? I mean, what can
no,
you do?
It's so hard. I mean, Fee, you're
well, I'm the queen
an
of orange,
orange
yes,
phobe.
Yeah, I'm an orange phobe.
I just think, you know, you just need to go to a professional. And even then, you know, you asked me today if your hair was orange.
Yes.
Your hair, when I saw you, when I walked in the room, I was like, my God, your hair's gorgeous. And it's completely brunette with, you know, golden pieces through it. But I suppose you see, it depends on what kind of light you're looking in. If you're in the bathroom under a spotlight, then everything's orange.
Good to know.
Everything's orange. But
I have a friend who just came to stay with me this summer, and boy, she's got your colour hair, and it's gone orange.
No.
The sun has grabbed anywhere that she's had any lights put in, and she's trying to grow out her grey through her dark.
Wow.
And I was just, and she lives in New York, and she's like, "What am I going to do?" I said, "You're going to phone Nicola, actually, because you can't go around her orange is like rust. It's like her hair's been rusted."
So I heard actually, in order to get rid of orange, you have to actually bleach the hair and then make it darker afterwards. Is that to get rid of the?
That's quite extreme. So if you're, you know, say you're like Angelina Jolie that probably tints her hair, then you would have to bleach it lighter to get it, you know, to get the orange out, and then you almost have to get it to yellow and then tone it, so there is no orange in it. But I mean,
so that
would
that
just
with
be
bleach.
Pieces, but I wouldn't do that all over.
No.
Only in pieces. But you just have to put lots of ash in it, and
lots
you just have
ash.
To have toners.
I'm obsessed by toners.
So toners, I hate toners because they make my hair so flat. I mean, I have shiny hair because it's already so straight, but I always feel like toners are heavy and they make it, my hair, they make it shinier, of course, but it also makes
you just
it
have
really
to leave them
flat.
On for, a, maybe leave them on for a little
seconds.
Less. Yeah.
I leave mine on for five. So I've got I pride myself in having a very good base colour, because that's what they all say to me. But my hair only really wants to be orange, and it's the battle of my life.
Your hair wants to be orange?
Oh, it wants to be orange. It doesn't want to be orange. It wants to be bright yellow. It wants to be like mustard yellow.
Oh.
That's what it wants to be, and I want it to be white. And for years, even before I have sort of quite bleached white, very short hair, but I had very long hair, and I only had to see a hint of warmth in my hair, and I'd be hysterical, which kind of brings me back to Kate's hair, because Kate, I think, has got quite a similar base colour to me. It's quite ashy.
Yeah, I think hers is
a little never any
tiny
yellow
bit,
in there.
Yeah, yours is a little tiny bit harder to shift.
But mine really, so this summer, for example, this summer I was on holiday and I've got my kind of platinum bleach with my roots coming through. And I went to Sicily with some friends, and I do have a toner that I take home.
I carry everything with you.
Yes, because I do what I do.
I'm going to do that next year with my roots.
With me, so I'm on holiday, just decant it into little bottles. Just make sure if you do one thing that you take the hair protection kit that you need, because I really learned this summer. So I get to Sicily and I wash my hair a few times and I see it start to become sort of Coleman's mustard yellow, and I'm like, oh my god. So I caught my son's a friend of my son's was coming out to stay with us, and she's got very bleached hair, and I said, I've got blue shampoo, don't worry, I've got blue shampoo that'll get rid of it. So I wash my hair with blue shampoo and I come out lime green green.
Yeah,
okay,
great.
At which point I have a nervous breakdown, and thank god I've got a hotline to Nicola, which is the number that all of you want. So I text Nicola and I go, fuck, I've got green hair, and she goes, tomato ketchup. You need to put tomato ketchup in it because the red in the ketchup will take the green out of your hair. Only I'm in Sicily, okay, and they've never heard of tomato ketchup in Sicily. I'm in the middle of the lake. So I go down to the kitchen and they're making tomato. We're having pasta with tomato sauce for dinner. They've been labouring over four different kinds of tomato. And I go, I got to have a bowl of that. They go, no, we're having dinner in a minute. I go, no, I've got to have it because I've got to put it in my hair. So I go upstairs with the bowl of the tomato sauce.
Do you have
sauce.
A photo of this?
I do. I have
you
my
really?
Hair. So I put the tomato sauce through my hair. I put the dressing gown on. There was this white dressing gown in the house. I was saying it looked like somebody had been murdered.
Yep.
Right. And I keep sticking my hand in my hair. Going, delicious. It's so yummy. I'm like, having my hand, the fingers are in the hair.
Kind of gross, by
the way. But it was, you know, it's me, like, who's no boundaries. And anyway, wash it out 5 minutes later, hair absolutely back to normal. Who would have thunk it? Roche Bassett.
How did you figure that out?
No, I know. It's just,
it's a known
just
thing.
The, you know, we used to have children come in after the summer holidays, and you don't really want to put anything chemical on them. So it's just basically the red gets rid of the green. It kind of counteracts it.
Interesting.
So it's just a safe
thing. From the chlorine
thing.
In the pool.
Yeah.
I mean, there wouldn't have been much chlorine in our pool, but there must have been something.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it was the chemicals in the pool. So, I mean, definitely if you're blonde, take some toner, take some rescue equipment, and take some ketchup.
I think
ketchup.
Also as well, I think it's mainly just about having a really, really gorgeous shampoo and conditioner and a really nice treatment. And if you can, you know, if you don't mind, you know, you're like me, Fee, you know, put something on your hair so it looks like it's a bit wet looking.
Yeah.
just keep a treatment on it. That's the best thing I find.
When you're on holiday.
On holiday. And then I'd hide it from, you know, the kids because, you know, they pour it down the sink. But I just have a really amazing shampoo and conditioner.
Okay, so let's get to that. Because one of the things I love about you and your salon at, on Margaret Street is that you don't just use John Frieda products.
No.
You use the products you believe in.
Yeah.
And so what are the products that you would...
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So,
what you believe in at the moment?
Last year, a friend of mine in Canada recommended me this brand. I'd already taken on one brand that I really liked, which was Isles, and that was...
How do you spell that?
I-L-E-S, I think.
I-L-E-S.
And it was really just a beautiful scented shampoo and conditioner. It worked really well and had a really beautiful serum. And so I'd just taken that on, and we've got, you know, other products like the Colour Wow, and we've got the John Frieda at the salon. And my friend Tony... He's Thai. He was like, darling, you need this in your life. It's like the most amazing thing you've ever had, honey. And so I was like, okay. And I was like, well, I've just got this Isles. It's like really amazing. He's like, no, honey, try this. So they sent me over some of Virtue, and I gave it to your lovely stylist, Joelle,
yes,
in the salon. And I asked him to give it to his wife, Rachel, who's a hairdresser, but she's hardcore. No mincing words.
Yeah, no, she doesn't muck about, Rachel.
And she's, you know, high maintenance. Like, she has her hair blow dried all the time. So she's, I just got her to try it out for me. And he sent me this, arm length text saying how amazing it was and how much it changed her life. And now that she's never left the house without, blow drying her hair. Now she just shampoos and leaves it, and she's got...
It's got the keratin, isn't it?
Basically, it's got human keratin in it. And what happened was this colonel in America had decided that he wanted to help with all the victims of war, and he'd noticed that over the last 20 years that the injuries had changed from gunshot wounds to explosions and bombs. So they tried to find a way of healing skin. And so they'd extracted the protein from the hair. And one of the girls that was working in the lab at the time, her parents had a salon, and she asked if she could put the protein in a shampoo. Well, that's how it was born. And it's just... a really fantastic shampoo. I'd never worked with a product that actually was...
So it restores the hair.
Yeah.
It helps with growth.
Yeah, so it's not a chemical, whereas some of the other brands, like, put back the bonds together.
Opaplex,
is
that?
Yeah, Olaplex, yes.
Yeah, they put them back together. But this one is natural, so it recognises your hair. So apparently... where the holes are in your hair, the keratin just rests in, and what it doesn't want, it just...
Repairs, and
yeah,
then that
it
goes,
repairs,
that
and then the rest, it goes the rest out. Washes out.
Amazing.
Yeah. Have you ever seen it?
No, I haven't tried
it's that. It's
great. It's really... I've only had one person that didn't like it, and she didn't like it, and I was really shocked, and she said she didn't like it because she wears her hair... It's kind of, like, really frizzy and hard, and it's like a triangle, and... Because she started using the shampoo, she was losing her triangle, and it was becoming manageable and soft, yes, and she was losing the frizz. So that was why which I was like, well, that's perfect. If you don't like it because it's curing your hair, then that's a good reason.
That's also good.
Yeah.
So do you have a kind of colour preference that you like to work with? Because I was asking you before, you know, what do you do when you get women who come in and they want something that you just think, bleh?
Well, I mean...
You're known for your blondes, but... but is...
Yeah, I mean, when you work with beauty editors, they obviously want to know who you do. They want to know who you do that's famous. So over the years, I mean, I've done lots of brunette women. You know, I've been doing Queen Rania's hair for 17 years, 18 years.
That's a very good investment for you. She's fabulous. There's a huge trend going on for grey.
Would I go grey?
Would you go grey?
I think I love the look of grey. Like Sarah Harris is, I mean, her hair is insane. So Sarah
Harris I worked with for a million years, and her grey was just, it just sort of happened, and then it became a thing.
It's her thing. But she looks good with it. I think grey for me would wash me out. I would, especially because I have very dark eyebrows. So I don't think I could go grey. I don't think I would go grey gracefully anyway.
Do you have a lot of demand for grey? Do you have a lot of clients who are transitioning?
Definitely more so nowadays, because I think it's not so taboo.
To be grey.
Yeah.
Well, it's very chic. I think, the people who I've seen, if it works, it's actually really beautiful. Yeah. You also have to have good hair to be able to do it, I think. So sometimes grey hair, I think, is a little bit coarser and, you know, quirkier. And so I think those people suffer with unattractive grey, whereas there are some people who it makes them shine and it's more silver grey.
Could you dye someone into grey, as it were? So rather than just having the roots and having to wait, you can make the hair grey?
I mean, it depending on how dark you are and then going grey. Yeah, I mean, obviously it's going to cause damage. But I think most women that are brunette probably worry about damage, where blondes probably don't worry so much about damage.
I mean, mine's fried.
You get... Yeah. More addicted to blonde, whereas brunettes want shine.
Yes, I want. I like shine.
They want shine. And blondes want blonde.
I'm quite blonde right now. I mean, even my daughter.
We're all post summer, so I'd say most of our hair isn't in its real. In a way.
Well, I mean, I just did my roots because I don't travel with my goodies. I should.
Well, there we are. Tip.
Yeah, I know, but. And now it's all about shine and the having a healthy, glowy, you know, just like skin.
Yeah.
Healthy, shiny hair is good hair.
Yeah, definitely.
It's so funny that you have that, because my hair being so short and kind of slightly punky, it looks best when it's a bit dirty and a bit matte. So if it's just very clean and I've shampooed and conditioned it, it's kind of flat on my head. And my kids always go, "Oh, make your hair messy, Mum. You know, make it
cool."
So I'm always looking for things to kind of.
But that's what it looks good with short hair. I think the big thing is also, when do you go short? Mm. So you've had short for quite a long time. I'm petrified of going short.
Yeah.
I feel like once I go short, I'm never going to go back to long. And I also don't think long necessarily looks good as you age too, because it's just elongating and makes everything droop.
I think that's a myth. I'm absolutely convinced that's a myth.
I think it suits certain people.
I think long, you can do different things with it. Yeah. So my granny had an amazing chignon she wore on top of her head with her waist length hair. And I think long women can do different things with their hair.
I think all those...
I think idea of aging and maybe having to cut it.
Well, I think all those myths are...
Myths.
Rubbish now.
Oh, I don't think they're myths. I think there's it depends on how healthy. So the people who have long, dark, beautiful hair generally have one shade. So I don't think that they're multi-processed hair. So like the ones who are either all dark brown or all black or something like that, you know, one color, they tend to have beautiful, shiny, glossy, gorgeous hair, and then they can wear it in a bun or a chignon or, you know, however they want. But I think if you have texture to your hair with colors, I think it becomes harder to have beautiful long hair. But
I've got a beautiful older lady, probably in her late 70s, who's got long hair, and she looks fantastic, and she's blonde and she's gray, and you know, she's got a whole mix. It's just who you are and how you wear it. It's like, you know, like you saying, you know, it was quite probably 10 years ago it was taboo to show your gray. Those things are kind of, you know, it depends how you wear it.
How you wear it is the most important, of course.
Do you find a lot of people come to you at times of kind of emotional stress and drama and want to totally change the colour or the look of their hair?
I don't know. Like, I feel like less now, maybe because I'm a bit older. I feel women tend to do that more in their 30s.
Mm. When my mum died, and I was in my late 30s, I dyed my hair brunette. My mum was, she was Jewish race and gold she was older, but she was dark. When I remember at our kind of happiest, my moment that's frozen in time, teenage, my mum was dark like Mariam. And she died, and a week later I went Mariam's colour.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine you
I
like did. That.
I went into, I went to Josh Wood and I said, sorry, I was cheating. And I said, make me brunette. And I walked back into the Vogue office and honestly, they all looked like somebody thrown up on the floor. It was like this, I walked into a meeting and they all turned around and yeah. I could just feel that. But I did it. It was some emotional thing yeah. to do with my mum, for sure. It lasted a week.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think nowadays, because everyone's so hot on consultation, I don't think people go for such rash, or most stylists try and talk you through what the consequences are and how it would be to get it back. So yeah. I find that it happens less.
Although I see a lot of, you know, still the pink streak.
Oh, yeah.
I've been watching Euphoria. I don't know if you've seen any of it. It's a brilliant show on Sky, I think. Or anyway, it's about all these kids in America. And there's just this girl who's, what, this boy who's transitioning, who's got the most fantastic pink hair. Yeah. And there's so much you can play with in a way. Like, definitely. That's the hyper days, yeah, I think. That hair is so, you can have so much fun with it now. And even friends of mine my age in their 50s are going, shall I have a blue bit? And
definitely. Well, I think it's like, you know, you get to a certain age, like you get to your 40s and 50s and the piercings become more, or the tattoos. And it's definitely women play with their hair as well, for sure. And because it's so throw away, it's, you know, it can be changed within an instant.
What about the down belows? The down below. That's what my husband calls it. But how about pubic hair? Because I'm so fair. My hair is completely and utterly blonde, see-through. And I don't love it. I mean, I'd rather have dark. Do women do dye their pubic hair a lot?
I don't know whether...
Marianne's looking horrified.
No, actually, do you know that I didn't even think for a second that anybody goes gray down there. And then I remember I was at a dinner and a friend of mine was like, yeah, and you know they make dyes for down there. And I was like, what?
Yeah,
the hair down there goes gray. Oh my God. Aging sucks. But but people don't, do they come to the salon to have it done?
No. But do they ask you about it? Is it like the dirty question? Actually, the whispered secret? Because I would, if I knew how, I'd be dying.
I've worked with actresses where they've been on stage and they've had to be, you know, full frontal.
Who?
Well, I worked with Eddie Izzard and Elizabeth Barclay. She had to have red hair in the play and she wanted
to have red pubes.
Yeah. Ooh. And so I mixed up the colour and passed it to her. And she went into the bathroom and did it for herself. But I've had a few of those things, but not regular clients, actually.
Like waxing places offered it.
Do they not?
No. I have asked over the years. I did it once.
The new pop-up. Well,
I thought there was a bit of a thing.
No blue bars, you know.
I'm sure there was a bit of a thing.
Blink should do it. Blink, yeah. They should definitely offer it.
I would have thought so with the vajazzling and all that kind of stuff.
All the vajazzling, and you think, would it kill you to give me a brunette bush? Yeah. Who would you like to get your hands on?
I think I've done everybody that I would like to have done. I probably would have loved to have done Blondie.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Back in the 70s. I'd love to have done her hair, but
Kate's hair, I have to say, back to the moss, it gets better and better.
Yeah,
it just, her colour is, and there are more colour minches written about. I mean, last year there was a whole thing about Kate's new
about
blonde.
Her, isn't it? She's
she's endlessly fascinating.
She's just the rock queen of London, isn't she?
She is. So something else that's amazing about you is I know you go on junkets, mm-hmm. which are when you're promoting the films with a lot of these celebs, and I think it was last year that you went with Kate Blanchett.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was an immaculate junket for her because I thought she looked incredible in every single look. And I wrote to you just about every day going, God, you rocked it. Because not only did you do her colour, but you styled her hair.
Yeah, we did. We did 2 weeks in Cannes because she was the president of the festival. And it was amazing.
And
it was
are an amazing hairstylist.
Oh,
Nicola.
Thank you.
You are. And I mean, she doesn't tell anyone in the salon because they'll want her to do it. But your hairstyling is brilliant.
Well, I've worked with Kate for a long time, so we know each other really well. So I kind of know what she likes, how she likes to wear her hair, and I know what her hair's like.
It's quite sort of, I want to say Rita Hayworth, but it's quite that sort of, it does that 30s thing really well. It's got that wave that I
love.
Yeah,
she's great.
That Lauren Hutton or Lauren McCall wave.
I suppose they're from my Sam days as well.
Yes.
Working with Sam.
So would you say that in your career you learnt, like Sam McKnight's been the person who's really taught you?
I think Sam's been a massive influence in my life. I've also worked with Mary Greenwell for a long time, and she's a brilliant
makeup artist.
Yeah, she's a brilliant woman to work with. She's fun and hilarious and hysterical and just brilliant. And so, and she gives me lots of advice, and she's very opinionated about what we do. And
I was her assistant for one day, and the advice she gave me is don't be a makeup artist.
So yeah, so I love collaborating with Mary and also with the designers. That's really
so
nice.
So when you do you do shows?
Not anymore.
But so when you work with the designer, they'll give you a very clear brief.
Yeah, I mean, in the past when we used to do shows, they kind of give you a brief, maybe like a mood board, and you go from there, really, and you just knock out a few ideas and whittle it down. But, yeah, I mean, with Kate and Mary, we're just like a little trio, and we just sort of huddle together, and we're normally...
Like play.
Yeah, we just play, and we just sort of kind of normally engrossed in talking about the kids, or Mary's talking about another project that she's got going on, or, you know, or we're crying, or we're laughing, or...
We're drunk.
Drunk, yeah. I try not to get drunk before I finish the hair, but yeah.
Yeah. It's a laugh thing. So if we were talking to our listeners about kind of, you know, things they can do at home, mm-hmm. right? And brands that they can use at home, mm-hmm. are there any kind of colour brands that you like that are kind of easy at home? And I know that I think Wow does a kind of colour stick, doesn't it? It's like
a touch up stick, which is like a kind of, or I suppose the best way to explain it is a bit like an eyeshadow that you can touch up greys with, and they do one for brunettes and they do blondes, and I think they do one for a redhead. But I don't know, like I sort of went down kind of researching a bit for home hair colour, but if you're a brunette, then it's quite easy to touch up greys and stuff like that. But I don't know about colouring highlights and stuff. I find it a bit worrying.
What about all the kind of vegan, you know?
I don't know. I don't really know anything about those.
Do you think it could possibly work as well? All of this sort of, you know, clean shampoo, clean...
I think, you know, sometimes having vegan, obviously if you have some strong beliefs in what you want in your own skin or your hair products, then you have to follow what you feel is correct. But in my opinion, at least for myself, I think that sometimes you need some actives in order to make things happen.
So well, I agree completely.
If you're going to go completely, you know, one way, then that's your prerogative. But for myself, I wouldn't.
Yeah. I mean,
I feel like I need something that's going to work. I'd rather do that than have.
Just when we've experimented with products that are vegan or as a professional working in a salon every single day, some of them aren't quite perfected so that you can chop and change. So where we need to be able to work with products that you can
room for maneuver.
Strip things out, and there's that kind of going on. So I don't know. I think there needs to be more research. But I think if you're worried about your health, then definitely go for the vegan thing.
How bad is keratin for your hair?
Well, I don't really deal with any of the keratins. The ones with the formaldehyde are
obviously very
really bad. But I think they're banned here.
They are banned here.
Yeah.
That's why some of my friends go to America so they can have the stronger.
I was probably going to say there's probably someone that's got them under the counter somewhere or other. But
so for all of us who've just come back from a long hot summer, mm-hmm. what would be your kind of go-to kind of hair care repair? You know, mine's dry. And mm-hmm. would you do like an Olaplex and would you recommend Olaplex?
Yeah, I love it for certain things, kind of big changes and stuff, but. With the Virtue, they've actually freeze-dried the protein. So now I use the protein. It's called Colour Kick in all the colours that I do. And it's more natural.
And you can get it from the salon. You can also get it online. Yeah. And very easy to find.
I would
Virtue.
Definitely
invest. You only have to use a very little bit of it. That's the other thing. It lasts a really long time. Nicola, thank you.
Thank you so much.
I could sit here all day.
But I'll be in the salon in the next day or two. You know it.
I know. I missed you yesterday.
Yeah,
apparently.
I missed you yesterday. Please make sure you follow us on Instagram at the Guinea Pig Podcast. Also, if you've got any questions for us or for Nicola that we could pass on, email us at theguineapigpod@gmail.com, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
The Guinea Pig provides unbiased information to those who may be considering cosmetic surgery or even trialling a non-invasive treatment or product. We do not endorse the use of any product or procedure featured in this podcast and are not responsible for the outcome of any of the treatments featured on this podcast or damage caused in connection with any treatments or products. Should you decide to try any of the procedures, treatments or products mentioned in any episode of The Guinea Pig, you do so at your own risk. Always consult an independent and fully qualified medical professional if you are considering embarking on a medical procedure, irrespective of whether it's an invasive or non-invasive procedure.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.